Hey everyone, what is going on? It is Crypto Bobby. Hope you're having a great day, great night, wherever you're watching in from. And today I want to talk about Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies Q1 results. Obviously, they were not good, but it was a solid article from CoinDesk talking about the performance of Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency markets from January 1st to March 31st. Also, really good tweet from someone, CryptoTyrion, in regards to monthly Bitcoin performance over the past few years, and specifically the last quarter just being absolutely terrible for Bitcoin. Then next, I want to dive into OTC trading. There was a good article from the New York Times on OTC trading and the amount of money and the amount of volume that is right now moving over the counter for a number of these larger scale investors and some of the stuff going on behind the scenes. And then lastly, I want to touch on just what's happening with the crypto ad bans. And there, I think there's been a little bit of a renewed discussion. At least I saw a tweet from Brad Mills today that I want to touch on, as well as I'm out here in San Francisco at attending a couple meetings in the Global Blockchain Forum as well. And one of the panels at the event was talking at the Global Blockchain Forum was talking about this specific subject of the Google, Facebook, Twitter ad bans and what that really means for everything. So we'll dive into all that and more today. But first, hopping into Q1 performance. So obviously it wasn't the market itself. If you take away maybe the first week out of January, was not a great quarter in the world of crypto. If you look at it, we topped out in early January at about $830 billion. In market capitalization. So we rode all the way up to $830 billion in total market cap in the crypto world. And now we're down about 70% to $251 billion. And that is essentially the equivalent of where we were back on November 23rd. So I've joked around a few different times saying, you know, if you got into the market before November, then just close your eyes and pretend December and January and February and March didn't happen. And you just woke up out of a coma, because otherwise, maybe you're hurting a little bit more than, you know, maybe you're hurting a little bit more. But looking into CoinDesk's analysis, and there were a couple different things that I thought were interesting. Some of the top losers of Q1, Bitcoin Gold, which I'm not really personally a fan of, but Bitcoin Gold is down 83% over the quarter. It had an all-time high of about close to $500. It's now trading at about $44. So Bitcoin Gold got whomped pretty good. NEM, another one, is down about 78%. A lot of that really due to the fact that there were 500 million NEM tokens, or around $430 million worth, that were stolen from Coincheck, a large Japanese exchange. That was a really big deal. And I think that was a rough, in addition to an overall bearish market in general, I don't think that really helped out NEM at all moving forward. And then Cardano too. Cardano down about 78%, and that's one that, you know, I've liked in the past, but at the same point in time, price momentum for it, it's definitely not, it's moving sideways now actually a little bit. And I don't know if Cardano is totally bottomed out. I think that would be aggressive to say, but Cardano's performance in Q1 was pretty brutal, down about close to, you know, 78, 80% at this point in time. And the only two coins that apparently gained, according to CoinDesk, were Binance Coin, BNB, and VeChain as well. VeChain is down quite a bit, quite significantly from its all-time high. Still, it's down. It's down pretty significantly from its all-time high, as is Binance Coin as well. But both of them, from where they started in January, they are up a little bit from where they ended off the quarter, which I think is interesting. Binance Coin too is another one that I've seen certain people start to talk about Binance Coin as almost an interesting way to buying Binance Coin, being something that you almost treat it, because the value of Binance Coin in some cases tends to move with trading volume and with the excitement on the Binance platform itself. So Binance Coin almost being a good gauge for the altcoin market as a whole. And in some cases, I've seen people, some investors on Twitter talking about Binance Coin almost being like a way to acquire the value of the altcoin market in one specific place. I haven't really done the math on that yet, but I think it's an interesting subject to consider and potentially look at as well. Diving into Crypto Tyrion's tweet. I will link to this below in the YouTube description if you'd like to give this homie a follow, and in the podcast as well. But he charted out, and this did pretty well on Twitter. So he charted out the he basically created a chart with the monthly returns of Bitcoin since 2014. And the monthly returns in 2018 so far for Q1 were just pretty abysmal. You had a down 25% down in January. February was actually 13% positive, and then March was down 38%. So the overall Q1 returns were pretty rough. And when you look at it historically speaking, at least, it's interesting in 2015, 2016, and 2017, and in 2018. The market dipped pretty significantly in the month of January, and then in February there was a recovery of some sort, and then there was a more negative price action in the month of March. Now, in 2017 there was negative price action in March. It was down about 12%. This time we're down 38%, or we were down 38% for Bitcoin in the month of March in 2018. So those were, I would say, the sharpest corrections that we've seen really across the board in terms of January, February, and March. And I think that might be interesting to see next year. Now, historically speaking, it's been a mixed bag, but in the past 2 years, interestingly enough, in the past 2 years, Q2 has been a positive one. So in 2016 and 2017, after negative Q1s, Q2 for cryptocurrency, if we're looking last year, Bitcoin-wise, Bitcoin was up 25% in the month of April, 61% in May, and 3% in June. And in 2016, Bitcoin was up 7% in April, 18% in May, and 25% in June. Now, will that repeat itself again? Will that hold true? It remains to be seen, but I do think it is an interesting thing to keep an eye on. In 2017, though, outside of Q1, the majority of the rest of the year was very, very bullish, and I don't know if we'll be able to keep that up. I mean, even Q2 and Q4, or Q3 and Q4 for Bitcoin's price action was basically all positive, minus a down month in September when a lot of the China news came out in regards to Bitcoin and cryptocurrency. But something to consider, that traditionally speaking, Q1 has been a negative one for Bitcoin and for cryptocurrency returns. And traditionally speaking, Q2 has been a more positive quarter. Will that repeat itself again? Who knows? But maybe if you're looking for a sign of hope, perhaps this is something that provides you with a little bit more, maybe of a glimmer of hope in the long run. We'll have to see how it pans out in the long run. Now, one thing I think, which is something we've started to, and I've started to get a little bit more, some more questions on this, and this is OTC crypto markets and crypto trading. And if you're not familiar, over-the-counter, OTC stands for over-the-counter. I had a couple of people ask questions on that after yesterday's crypto happy hour, crypto sad hour, whatever it might have been. But basically, OTC crypto trading is done essentially off the books. It is when a large investor wants to, a large trader, typically in this market. So I will link to this New York Times article below, but it's pretty solid. We can see here, typically the clients of these OTC trading desks is basically what they're called. The clients of these OTC trading desks are typically wealthy investors. They are Bitcoin miners, maybe payment processors, and more hedge funds as well. So that is something to consider. So those like large scale investors that have a lot of money to move. And the interesting thing to think about here is that, if you have millions of dollars that you want to potentially buy or sell, because of the illiquidity of the cryptocurrency marketplace, if you're to do that, you can face some pretty serious slippage in your order. You can move the price up, you can move the price down, depending upon what you're doing. And if it's on something like GDAX or if it's on one of the other exchanges, that's all for the most part visible to everybody else. Your order is going to be out there and you'll be able to see it. So more and more people are leveraging large scale investors are leveraging OTC trading desks. And there's a couple that were mentioned. Cumberland Mining is a big one from DRW. Circle, which just acquired Poloniex, you're probably familiar with that. Circle has a large OTC trading desk. And then Genesis Global, which is part of DCG. digital currency group, Barry Silbert. They also have a very large and developed OTC trading group, but you know, they don't have to report anything specifically, but the amount of volume that they are doing is pretty impressive. So if you look at the amount of volume, a couple different things. So number one, they some folks have said anytime there's a big exchange hack happening, that tends to increase business, which is interesting. But Genesis, again, owned by DCG, they handle about $75 to $80 million in trades daily. And they said that's about 10 times what it was a year ago, which is pretty nuts. And Circle handles up to about $4 billion in OTC trades on a monthly basis, which is, again, that's a huge amount of money that is transferring hands between people over the counter and not on exchanges. And you know, this is what many individuals are doing, where you know they want to go through the process of either acquiring Bitcoin or other cryptocurrency or selling that, but not having to deal with the risks of slippage on an exchange or doing anything else. So it's definitely something that you want to keep an eye on as far as this continues to, you know, this continues to build out. But I thought this was a really solid article, and funny enough that a lot of these apparently a lot of these traders or the trading desks are using Skype as their common messaging tool to find trading partners, because this is essentially a peer-to-peer with a middleman. You know, this is, there is a buyer, there's a seller, and there's an OTC trading desk in the middle of that, facilitating that transaction. And according to the New York Times, it's done in a lot of respects by Skype. So pretty interesting article. I would definitely recommend checking it out, taking a read. It'll help you get an understanding of some of the things going on in regards to over-the-counter trading and why that might matter to you, why it might not. One of the last things I wanted to touch on was, this is a tweet from Brad Mills at Brad Mills Ken, C-A-N, on Twitter. And he said, one of the largest fundamental reasons why cryptocurrencies are selling off so hard is the major ad companies banning crypto ads. Ad retargeting is like a mind worm, and without Bitcoin ads following new users around the internet, demand will continue to be suppressed. And this is an interesting tweet. I thought it was well written, and I don't fully agree with it, but I do think there are valid points to it. And there's a couple different things, and I've spoken negatively about the, when people try to say, hey, the, you know, the reason the entire market is dipping is because, you know, Google banned crypto ads and Facebook banned crypto ads and Twitter banned crypto ads, and basically every large scale ad network has banned crypto advertisements. And I think it is, you know, fairly easy to say, for the most part, a lot of the advertisements that were occurring were scammy advertisements. They, you know, they definitely were. You know, you have the jokers with the newsletters and trying to get you to sign up for a webinar. There used to be, you know, all the BitConnect advertisements, all that type of stuff. There, you know, there's a lot of scammy, crappy advertisements, a lot of bad ICOs, things like that. And I do think in some respects them, you know, banning those advertisements is in some ways good for the industry, because it cleans up a lot of the junk. But at the same point in time, I do think that, you know, potentially I think there is validity to Brad's point that because the ads are no longer popping up around the internet, because people aren't being retargeted with those different ads and kind of followed around, it does maybe suppress demand a little bit. And I do think it's a valid point. There was a conversation in regards to this subject at the Global Blockchain Forum today, where I sat in and listened on it. And there was somebody saying, you know, this is the big institutions trying to keep crypto down and trying to keep blockchain down. And you know, they recognize that they're about to lose out to this new industry, and now they want to, you know, to stop that from happening. That may be true. The counterpoint to that, the other person was saying, you know, there are a lot of bad actors and there's a lot of, you know, crappy advertisements. And when that happens, if you know, if there's BitConnect ads on YouTube, or if there's BitConnect ads on Facebook or whatever, you know, some crappy ICO, and somebody buys into that bad ICO or into that Ponzi scheme because they saw that on Facebook or they saw that on YouTube, a lot of times they won't even ban the company, or they'll blame the company. They might blame Facebook or YouTube because that's where they found that information. So that's something that I think is a good point in general. Do I think that the largest fundamental reason, or one of the largest fundamental reasons, why cryptocurrency is selling off so hard is because these major ad companies are banning crypto ads? No, I don't personally. Do I think it, after taking some time and evaluating things, I do think it potentially does have a negative impact though on the price potentially. Even if it's not, you know, even if you're talking about scammy products and things like that, that does probably artificially inflate the demand for cryptocurrency and for Bitcoin. You know, if you wanted to buy BitConnect back in the day, you had to go and you had to acquire Bitcoin, then you had to send that Bitcoin to BitConnect, something like that. So people were acquiring other cryptocurrencies, even if they were throwing it into scams and things like that. So I do think that there probably is a suppression on potentially the new users because other companies aren't able to advertise. I would hope that as this continues, as these companies though continue to fine-tune their policies, that there is some level of favor for legitimacy, because it would be nice if legitimate companies that have a good product can actually advertise. I don't think there should be a blanket ban on the industry, but I do get the point that there are a lot of crappy products and things out there that are scamming people. So something to consider. I thought it was a good tweet and an interesting discussion for sure. Would love to hear your comments as well. Or if you're on the podcast, shoot me a tweet at @crypto_Bobby. Outside of that, folks, really do appreciate the time today. If you enjoyed this video, hit that like button. That really helps to get the video out to as many people as possible. So hit that like button. That'd be fantastic. And if you are on the podcast, please consider leaving a rating and a review. That would help me out significantly. I really do appreciate the time, folks. Have a good one. Crypto Bobby signing out. Peace.